Our Bible reading today is from John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 34, and we can find on page 1063. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made him his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leader in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us answers to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way for the Lord.'" Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one who do not know. He is the one who comes after me. The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remains is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one."
Renata, thank you very much. Thought it was good to recap the prologue, and then we'll turn our attention to what John the Baptist tells us this morning from verse 19. Thank you for reading it all. Keep it open. We'll look at it together. Let's pray for God's help as we do so. Father, we thank and praise you, as we said, for your word, as we sung, asking you to speak, to renew our minds, to give you all the glory. So we pray you'd help us to, still our minds and still our hearts for a few moments now, to really let your word work in its power and strength of the Spirit. And we just pray you'd help us to listen and think. And what is helpful for me, would it be helpful? What is less helpful, would it be soon forgotten, Lord? We pray above all things you would speak as you've already done through your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we said a few times already, and it can't have failed our attention, it is the 1st of December, so it means the countdown has begun, and particularly, I guess, for children, there is sort of excitement that will build and build and build to fever pitch until the 24th, when they go to bed, with eager anticipation of the morning of the 25th, to check, has he come, as the door is opened or the end of the bed checked, to see if that very special visitor has arrived. And in many ways, that segues in a little bit to what we have been hearing as Renata read from the opening of John's Gospel. There's been this extraordinary introduction where John the disciple longs to make us really clear of the magnificence and magnitude of who Jesus really is, the one who will be arriving on the scene of human history. As John puts it back in verse 9, as we heard, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's the anticipation. We put it in carols today, don't we? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. God stepping to be revealed as our rescuer. And so as we come now to the sort of the next part of John, as we get to meet the John the Baptist, famously called, we hear of the announcement of this Messiah, this King, and that's in today's passage. And then we'll hear more about his arrival next week. Not with the familiar Christmas story, John leaps further ahead. But unlike children with Santa and his arrival, where Jesus says no fanfare or fuss. Nobody really stopped what they were doing, as we'll see. And in fact, to begin with, it is only one person who recognizes Jesus at all, because he's been given instructions to be clear who he sees. It's John the Baptist. Which, in itself, just that in itself is astonishing, isn't it? The creator, as we've heard, of everything and everyone, steps into his world and needs someone to say, oh, there he is. He's over there. And that was John's job. He was the messenger, pointing all of us to Jesus the Messiah. John the messenger, Jesus the Messiah. And we're going to simply look at those two things together. So firstly, let's see, John is the messenger. Over and again, and throughout all that we heard Renata read in the chapter, it's been clear that John is the witness. That's the word it's given. And sometimes in our English, it's the same word in the Greek that's translated as testify. It's the same word we get the word martyr from. So you go through, and it's all about John witnessing with his word of witness to what he witnessed. It's sort of very emphatic and very clear. And John is the witness whose work is to announce as messenger the light's arrival. You could say John the Baptist might better be known as John the Billboard. I'm not stealing his name. But John the Billboard, he's there to point that he did through baptism. But what we heard was that the delegation from religious HQ, they're in danger of real confusion that John doesn't share. So just look down with me as we heard from verse 19. Let's pick it up there. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. When the Jewish leaders, I've double typed it here. Verse 20, did not fail to confess, but confess freely, I am not the Messiah. Now, elsewhere in Mark's biography of the life and times of Jesus, he makes it really clear that John the Baptist, John the Billboard, is drawing quite a crowd in his ministry. All the news agencies are lining the banks of the Jordan River to get a glimpse, to see what he's up to hear what he's saying. And when they do eventually get a mic under his nose, John's reply is to be crystal clear who he is not. And so for the avoidance of doubt, he tells them very plainly, I am not the Messiah. And some of us might have to just ignore the words of Monty Python, The Life of Brian, sort of ringing in our ears. But John is very clear, he is not the Messiah. God's long-awaited king, no. That is not me, he says. Nor is he, verse 21, keep going through, nor is he Elijah, as they rattle through their options. Now, that was a more sensible suggestion from the authorities. The Old Testament is very clear, as it describes what Elijah was like, and they look at John. They shared the same job and the same dress code. Read more if you want to find out. And so when they read in the prophet Malachi, as we can too, that God promises he would send his prophet Elijah to point, there he is, to his king, they saw John doing the same job with the same dress sense. And so they naturally say, well, if you're not the Messiah, are you then Elijah? Verse 21, I am not Elijah. They go on, verse 21. So what about the prophet? Now, just to be clear, it's really important we spot that they don't say, are you a prophet, which he was. They're saying, are you the prophet, which he's clear he wasn't. And they're picking up a thread back from Deuteronomy, the fifth book in our Bibles, chapter 18, where again, God makes promises about this king, and he says the prophet would come. John says, oh, I'm not him. It's starting to sound, isn't it, like a very frustrating game of guess who, if you can remember playing that with children. You know, imagine over coffee, I come up to you, perhaps you're new here, I don't want to sort of single you out, I say, hi, I'm Adam, nice to meet you, and you are? Well, I'm not John. Okay, I'm not James. Right, okay, I'm not Dave either. We could be here a while. So verse 22, finally, they said, let's look at it together, verse 22, finally, they said, who are you? Guessing game's over. Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And then John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. It's astonishing. Statement. I should have said, perhaps at the start of this new series, that the best preparation we could have done is to have read the whole of the Old Testament before we get to John's Gospel. There are at least 8 direct quotes or very strong echoes and allusions in just today's passage alone. And according to Isaiah the prophet, the Lord would come as a rescuer. And he would be recognized both as a suffering servant and a conquering king. But only after a voice had prepared the way. And John the Baptist, having been very clear of who I am not, says, guess what? I am that voice. John is saying, I am the voice saying, look, there the king is. Because he wants us very clear that Jesus is that king. He is God's Messiah. Now that left the religious HQ at the time in a quandary and with a question. You'll see it there in verse 24. They ask, why then do you baptize with water? Baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. And John says, no, I baptize with water. But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. You see, John wants them really clear as they're coming to the river and they're grilling him on who he is and he's doing his baptisms, that all he can do is wash dirt off on the outside. And he wants to do that symbolically to point to something that only Jesus could do by washing on the inside, washing sin from hearts. In other words, it's as if he's saying to the authorities and the crowds, you think I'm the bee's knees. I only get you wet, which is nothing more than making me a sign to one whose shoes I'm not even worthy to untie, which just to be clear, the reason he says that, in a culture that had sandals and very dusty roads strewn with manure, that was a job for the most junior of domestic staff. No one wanted to do it. John says, I couldn't even do that for him. He says, I'll make you wet, but he, we'll hear more in a moment about him. Just for now, let's notice that every time John is asked who he is, he wants everybody clear who he absolutely isn't, and talks simply about Jesus. So perhaps just a couple of implications for us this morning. John is the messenger. And so we're to trust what John, as we've heard, the witness, says. Which is why John the disciple includes his witness, his testimony, his evidence. And so as we turn our thoughts to the Jesus of Christmas, John the disciple wants us to listen and be amazed about what John the witness says about him. To trust what he says and be in awe. We're to trust what John says, and second, to do what John does. Now, not directly, we're not going to have the same job or dress sense, even perhaps trendy innate, sort of a camel hair dress on all men with an accessorized leather belt. I mean, you probably wouldn't stand out on the Crouch End Broadway, but it's not necessarily what you'd wear. But let's do what John does in pointing away from ourselves. He wants them clear who he is, but only so we see who Jesus really is. He points away from himself. And that, in many ways, is what we're wanting to do all the flyering for this afternoon, to do the inviting. Such that when we do what John does and trust what John says, we would play our part in pointing many to Jesus. And that might mean, if it's not flyering, it might be colleagues at work tomorrow, friends, family on Facebook, whoever it might be, even nervously over coffee, to say to someone, would you like to see what the witness says? And then pray that as they do, the Spirit's work will get to work through his word. John is the messenger. But secondly, and far more wonderfully, he's the messenger who tells us that Jesus is the Messiah. From verses 29 to 34, John points out Jesus as being two things that give him the credentials. He's the Lamb of God and the Son of God. We'll look at those together. First, the Lamb of God. It was a while ago, but I was waiting to collect one of our children, one of the older ones was much younger, from school. And all of a sudden, I almost got taken out like a rugby tackle as some arms went round my legs and grabbed me great big hug and handed me their rucksack. And those little tiny faces, I looked down, looked up and realized, wrong dad, wrong child, as I awkwardly ushered them off to their parent. I don't know if you've ever had a case of mistaken identity. But whilst religious HQ here were mistaken with John, John makes no such mistakes with the Messiah. Listen to this for quite a bold call. Look down at verse 29. Verse 29, having survived his grilling, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's an astonishing claim. It's again back to our Old Testaments where we're told about two lambs. Two is sort of the number for today, isn't it? But there's two lambs which help us understand John's single description of Jesus here as this lamb. We don't have time to look them all up now, but the first reference is in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, in chapter 12. And it's there we read how God saved his people enslaved in Egypt. And we read of the death of what was called the Passover lamb, as it became known. It's the lamb who died instead of the people as God's judgment passed over where he saw the blood. That's the first lamb. The second lamb in reference here is back to the prophet Isaiah again, chapter 53, where he more plainly describes God's promised king as being one who'll be led like a lamb to the slaughter. He continues, "For the sin of God's people, he was punished." And so as John sees Jesus walking towards him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God," he wants them then and us now crystal clear that Jesus is both God's suffering servant king, as promised. He is the light of all mankind who reveals who God is and what he is like, for he saves sinners. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. He's also the Son of God. He continues in verse 22. Have a look at verse 22. We get a funny little phrase. It might trigger some of us thinking, if we know football and the manager Jose Mourinho, who once declared himself as the special one. John says Jesus is far more so. Look what he says at verse, I said 22, verse 32. Verse 32, "Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" More literally, it's, "This is the Son of God." So again, John the witness, John the billboard, John the messenger, he wants us clear. He saw God's Spirit. He saw it remain on Jesus and heard God's voice reveal why that matters and is so good. And once again, we thumb back into the Old Testament and we see that God's Spirit descends on various characters at various times, in various places, for specific tasks. So we can read that the life and times of Saul and David and Gideon and Samson and plenty others, empowered by God's Spirit. But the Spirit never stayed. And so that's when, again, back to Isaiah, he promises God's Spirit on his king will be sent and stay. And that'll mark him out as his servant, son. And that is precisely John's point when he heard God's voice declare what Jesus would do. Verse 33, he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. John with water, but he with the Spirit. That means all who receive the Son receive the Spirit. No delays, but a gift given, ensuring all who receive Jesus through believing in Jesus, as we've heard, are astonishingly made children of God. So John says, "I'll baptize with water on the outside. I'll happily get you wet, but only so you will look and see Jesus and believe he will wash you from your sin on the inside." I guess that's why he simply summarizes verse 34, "Oh, I have seen and I testify, this is God's chosen one, this is God's Son." John is the messenger, Jesus the Messiah, he's Lamb and Son. Well, as I draw this to a close, what John said about Jesus then, as I've said, he is saying to us today. So I think it would be remiss not to ask that if the appropriate response to John was to trust what he says and do what he does, then as he says, "Look," I must ask perhaps if it's true for you this morning to consider, is Jesus your Lamb? Have you seen and accepted the preciousness of the Son's forgiveness? Have you looked and seen the light that, yes, I'm a sinner, but look, there's my Saviour? to have known the joy of, before he finished the words, "I'm sorry," he says, "I forgive you." Astonishing. And lots of us, of course, wonderfully know that to be true. We've seen, we've believed, we've received. So surely these verses, if nothing else, must, for us as they have for me, just help us to help each other to, as we'll sing in the carols, to come, let us adore him. He is Christ the Lord. To gladly stick our raincoats on today and over the next few weeks and stick those flyers through letterboxes and boldly, but yes, nervously, give it to a friend or neighbour, because we long for them to see and receive and know the same. That's why, as James works hard behind the scenes, choosing songs, as he does for every Sunday, and we work together on that, but as he gets ready for Christmas, lots of thought goes into why we'd have the joy of singing "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." That we'd really pray that every heart would prepare him room. That we'd think of the significance of what it means to sing, "Mild he lays his glory by." Can you imagine the humility? He arrives, they say, "Who are you?" And he's born that man no more may die. John is the messenger. And he simply says, "Look, Jesus, the Lamb, the Son, our Messiah." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the truths of Jesus coming. Thank you that John wants to fast forward through all the stuff that we know and love about the season that the other accounts give us of his birth, that we would see as the adult Jesus takes center stage in his life and ministry, that John the messenger would have us look and see your Lamb, your Son, our Savior. We pray you would help that to sink in a bit more this week. Sorry when in all the business of work, family, all the other things, distractions, even what will happen today, that would have in some way, some sense, you being robbed of the right sense of awe and wonder and glory and worship. Please help us to have you in your right place, that we would gladly bow down, gladly invite others to see Jesus too and rejoice in who he is and what he's done, to know the privilege of being made your children. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.